right, Joe Klatt is our guy that we love talking to every week. Lead college football analyst at Fox Sports, of course, and he is presented by Audi Flatirons. He joins us again, and Joel, say good morning again to Stoke. He's filling in for Stink, who I don't know when he's ever going to come back. I think
he's not.
I think Stoke's taking up squatter's rights here on the show.
Took over.
Well, listen, you know, after a couple of weeks, you've got those rights.
That's right.
So congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It feels good.
All right, Joel, have you been following the Broncos coaching search from afar? And if so, what do you make of the names that have been involved so far?
Yeah, as best I can, and not to minimize the search, and I know that it's what everyone wants to talk about, and it's interesting, and it's topical, certainly. But I do think it's not seeing the forest through the trees, just because the other two issues that I think are much deeper and will affect the organization, you know, much more, both on the field and off, is the ownership issue and then the quarterback issue. So I hate to say it this way, but I don't think it matters really who the coach is, unless you're talking about the guy that you think is the best positioned to go and recruit a free agent quarterback. And then long term, certainly this ownership issue with the Broncos is going to be the biggest issue that this franchise has ever faced. I was reading somewhere it's going to be probably the largest and most expensive sports franchise sale in the history of our country. So it's, you know, I think that's the most important thing for the future of this organization, for what it looks like and what it's going to feel like to be a Bronco fan moving forward into the future. But make no mistake about it, like, this coaching hire, I think, is more about the guy who's best positioned to go recruit a free agent quarterback, because I don't think that you're drafting a quarterback that's going to put you in the playoffs next year.
Joel, looking at the college game, I've been interested to hear your thoughts on the transfer portal and how it's changed college football and how it's kind of evolved over the last few years. What's your overall thoughts on the transfer portal in college?
Well, I think that overall it's a good thing. Giving players their autonomy about where they play, I think, is a good thing. Allowing mobility for coaches who are making all the money and no mobility for players is not sustainable. So that had to change. Now, having said that, I feel like the pendulum swung a little bit too far. To this just kind of wild, wild west scenario where you've got to be recruiting your players that are current players just as much as you're recruiting future players.
Yes.
And so because of that, I think that it puts coaches in a bind, and I think it doesn't allow them to coach young men hard. That's a problem, because the portal is open every hour of every day. A guy can just leave. And because of that, I think that it hinders the ability of the coaching staff to have hard conversations with players, to force players to go through tough things, which are inevitable in this sport. And I think what you're ending up getting is that you're getting a generation of player that will refuse to go through something hard from a personal and more so from a career perspective. I do think that we need some guardrails around the transfer portal, and we need some guardrails in terms of timing, in terms of when they can transfer and what that calendar looks like, so that coaches can both coach a player hard and have the ability to manage their roster in a more cohesive way, similar to what the NFL has. And I've given this analogy before, but it would be crazy to have free agency and the draft going on all at the exact same time. You know, it's roster management. You have free agency, you understand who you are and what you are before you go into the draft. And in college, we don't have that. You know, you have this recruiting period kind of, and then that's kind of open all the time, to be honest with you. And then you have this portal. So overall, the pendulum swung too far, and I do think that we need some guardrails around the transfer portal, and one of those would be that I would close it at times, in particular during the season. I am bummed for CU. I think that they lost one of their better players to USC, Brennan Rice. I thought he was a heck of a player. And what I fear for programs that are in the position of CU, whom I love. I mean, guys, I want this program to succeed so badly. But the problem is that I fear that these programs were needing and do need to build themselves on what you would call diamonds in the rough. You know, guys that maybe weren't the highest recruited players, that but turn into great players. And the problem is as you're investing all of that energy, and that's more of a flywheel, which is much harder to get started. But once it gets started, it can really create some momentum. Is that if you get that started and you get the development going, well, you're going to get poached.
Yep.
And that's going to disincentivize programs like Colorado from really investing and spending the hard time in terms of development. And now they're going to try to go poach a lower program. And so what I feel like this does is it kind of flows downhill. The best programs are going to get the best high school recruits and the best transfer portal players. And so if you're Colorado and you're going to develop a guy and he's going to leave for a program that might have you know, a bigger brand, well, then you're going to go to some place that you feel has a lesser brand and try to poach them. And I don't think that that is a model that is sustainable in the future for college football.
Joel, I mean, that was well said, my man. I couldn't agree with you more. I think that was the way you laid that out there. I agree with you 100% on that. And hopefully they can kind of tweak this thing and tune it up a little bit better. And that was my next question for you. CU, I mean, how do you view this program right now? What do you think they need to do to get it back going in the right direction? Obviously, when you, like you said, you develop guys and then they leave, it hits your program so hard, especially if your program like CU. What's your thoughts on CU moving forward?
Well, you can't mope around because you're not alone, right? So this issue is not unique to Colorado, and that's what they're going to have to first accept and start to move forward and develop a plan accordingly. I do feel like it would help if they could lobby the state legislator so that NIL was more of not only a feasible but an attractive piece of coming to Colorado. And I think that the states that have worked with their institutions from a legislative standpoint to make NIL easier and with less red tape, I believe are seeing the success of that from a recruiting standpoint, both within the portal and from the high school level. Now, having said that, I don't want to oversimplify it because none of this answer is simple for getting Colorado back to a position where we would all like them to be. But I do believe, as a kid that grew up there, unless you are getting the best players from your own state, it's incredibly difficult to convince players from other states that you're legitimate. So first and foremost, they've got to do a better job. They have done a really poor job over the years of getting the best players in Colorado. Now, you know, everyone says, like, build a wall, no one can get out. Yeah, somewhat. You know, Southern California is dealing with that right now, where USC is trying to have to come back in and retain dominance over players that have been leaving to the SEC and Clemson and Ohio State. But Colorado's got to do the same in a lesser extent in the state of Colorado. Your best players, your top four or five players from the state need to be on your team. The reason that they need to be on your team is that core group of players generally builds the foundation of the program. And in the era of transfer portal, what you're going to have to do is focus more energy on your 10% foundational players within your organization or program. I've been a big believer, and Mike, I've said this, and you're going to probably roll your eyes, but the 80-10-10 theory of group dynamics. You got 80% of people in any group are going to follow the most vocal or the best leaders within the 10% on each end of the spectrum. You've got 10%, they're going to be quality foundational people within your organization or group. And you've got 10% that are going to be turds, right? So you've got to make sure that you're pouring resources, time, and energy into building the leadership of that top 10%. And I believe that top 10% needs to be made mostly of guys that are in state, because they're going to love the program, know the program, and be committed to the program, maybe to a bigger extent than others from out of state who are going to be poached from you. But that 10% is going to be vital in terms of getting the locker room to buy in and getting the 80% to follow. That 80% then starts to follow, and now you're not a program that's going to get poached because you have a good foundational layer built by players in that 10% that legitimately or largely, I should say, come from in-state. So I think that that's something that they need to really focus on, and that would help them both on the field and off during the offseason moving forward.
Joel, why do you think I roll my eyes at that? Are you kidding me? I have it on my wall when I leave every day. Don't be a 10% turd.
Don't be a Oh, I love it.
By the way, when I heard you say that, well, you know, CU's in a position now where they're going to have to poach some weaker school. Why do I see you thinking that there are going to be a bunch of kids moving from Fort Collins to Boulder?
Well, I mean, that's a potential. You know, I wouldn't love that either. I want to see CSU succeed. I do think that those lower conferences, like, for instance, okay, let's just call a spade a spade.
Now that I'm leading you down the road, go all the way.
Well, if I was at the University of Colorado right now, I would do everything I could to form a department that recruits only college players. And I would be recruiting the MAC, the AAC, the Mountain West, and I would be recruiting them hard and getting those guys that the last 2 years, you know, when you look at the draft, there's always really good players that come from those what you would call mid-major conferences.
Yep.
And so I would have a department completely committed to recruiting those conferences and trying to poach those players. Because guess what? The big boys in college football, you know, the $100 million programs are doing that to you. So you better do that to somebody else or you're going to be behind. You can't just rely on your culture to retain players and not have a plan for when inevitably someone leaves. And so from a roster management perspective, from a competitive advantage perspective, I believe that Colorado needs to have a department recruiting mid-majors and evaluating mid-majors almost exclusively. And I would, if I was in charge up there, that department would be built tomorrow.
I mean, just unbelievable how much the game has changed. You know, you saying that, it just has me thinking back to, you know, when we played and how much it has totally changed. And last one for me, Joel, thanks again for joining us. How is it more important now to have that head coach, have that guy that young recruits look at, have that guy that transfer portal kids will look at and say, I want to go there? Is that why these coaches are making this much money? Is that why USC went out there and paid all that money to Lincoln Riley to get him from Oklahoma? Is because, man, they're even more important now than ever. Is that the case?
Well, the head coach is to college football programs what the quarterback is to NFL organizations. You do not win without an elite person in that position. Just doesn't happen. So look at the playoffs right now in the National Football League. Look at what happens at the top end of college football. And it's because that position, that person, that guy is so important on so many more levels than even an NFL head coach. You've got to not only hire a staff, but you've got to have the acumen to have to be a CEO of all the recruiting departments, and you've got to have the relationships academically to keep your kids on the field, and you've got to be dynamic in the living room, and now you've got to have some sort of business acumen so that you can promise, even though I hate this aspect of NIL, that you can facilitate and promise some of these NIL deals. You've got to be savvy enough from a political standpoint to be the highest paid employee in the state and yet still go into the legislature and get all those legislative members on your side in order to enact bills that make NIL easier and more profitable for your players. So the multifaceted, you know, position that these coaches are in is it's never been this way. And that's why it's so important. And that's why organizations and programs are committing huge resources to these coaches, because you do not win without a coach, because the coach is the primary driver to build the roster, not the draft, not free agency, not a salary cap. The NFL has so many more guardrails and structure around it in order to build a roster. Your GM is deciding on things. Guys come because they like the owner. They come because they like the quarterback. In college football, you go to a place because you like that guy who you think is going to help you from a business perspective. You think it's going to help you from a football perspective, get to the National Football League. And that's it. And so when all of it lies on that person's shoulders, then yes, it's of the utmost of importance. And that's why guys are going to get paid, you know, moving forward, close to $10 million a year.
Great conversation with something that's huge right now in college sports in general. I always love doing this segment when you were here, QB on QB, quarterback on quarterback, to get your thoughts on other quarterbacks. If you can't land an Aaron Rodgers, a Russell Wilson, or Deshaun Watson, to me, the guy at the top of that next tier, if you're looking to go out and try to acquire a quarterback, that I've been impressed with the last couple weeks, is Jimmy Garoppolo. Tell me what you think about Jimmy G.
I mean, the guy went to a Super Bowl, right? I know that there are others that have done that maybe you wouldn't race out and get. I agree with you. I have liked Jimmy for a long time. I think that he is savvy enough. Now, I do believe, Mike, that feels a lot like the answers that they've been trying to give over the last few years. You know, it feels a little like the Flacco answer from a couple of years ago. It feels a little bit like Teddy Bridgewater. And Flacco had won the Super Bowl. So, but that doesn't mean that I don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. I really like Jimmy Garoppolo. And you can see what he's doing with that roster. And remember now, that roster is really good because of the fact that they're not having to pay him an exorbitant salary. They have been able to maintain a lot of these players that have moved into their second contract. And because of that, that roster is as good as anybody out there. I think that Denver has a really good roster. I would still maintain that. I still think it's a playoff roster if you can get the right guy. And he has proven in San Francisco that he can go out there and get the job done. If you can't get those big fish, and that's, you know, that's the caveat, then I would absolutely kick the tires on Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that he would be a decent option. Maybe not the best option, but a decent one.
Plus, look at it this way. If he left San Francisco to come here, you could ascend to the throne as the most handsome man in California.
Well, I'll tell you, that guy... If you put, like, if I walked into a room and there was, like, Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, I think I would just melt.
Well, you and Stink have that in common. I think you both would be dazzled that way.
Do you think if they just had a staring contest, it would just burst into a supernova?
Yes, and it would, like, swallow the entire universe whole. Yes.
That's right.
Yep, that would happen. Hey, Joel, great
stuff.
Everyone
would turn into not a toad. Everyone would turn into a fried cheeseburger immediately.
Oh, fried cheeseburger. delicious. I love my fried cheeseburger. All right, Joel.
Do you know what I've got downstairs? I've got a donut ready for me.
Oh.
And it's going to be glorious.
Go get it, big fella. All right, man.
You got it.
Thank you.
See you, boys.
There he is. Joel Klatt.